Well, here we are in break number 16. I hope you are understanding and getting the enjoyment, the peace back that maybe you have lost from a pastor preaching or a teaching or something you had in the back of your mind that you just haven't realized. We hope that you are, I hope that you are re-seeking the enjoyment of the riches of Christ, riches of His goodness, the riches of His glory, the riches of His grace, the riches of the glory of His inheritance, the riches of His grace and His kindness towards us, in the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, that's Paul's teaching, the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery in God. And Paul is the only one, the only apostle that teaches that. So we're looking here at some verses in the, what I call the tribulation books, Hebrews through Jude. And these are verses that people preach from all the time, and they've had in the back of their mind. I remember when I preached many of these things, when I was a good old-fashioned Baptist pastor, King James, sure I was. And Bible-believing, sure I was. Until one day I realized, I think I'll start reading the Bible for myself instead of passing on Baptistic doctrine, and to find out that I was wrong. This is number 16 today, and let's go to 1 John now. We started the whole thing off by looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Very frightening verse. And pastors are from the pulpits today, and books, and teachers, and website preachers, and YouTube preachers. They're trying to put their hammer down on Christians as well as the lost world, but they're really going after Christians more and more. And they're saying the devil's out there, this evil. If you're not careful, Christians, it can get you. And that is not true. We're going to go to 1 John now. 1 John's got some great verses. I have to say, listen, if you think that 1 Peter is written to you, then let me ask you some questions about 1 John. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Is that you, meaning you today? This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, there's that walk again, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Sounds good so far, doesn't it? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, have you sinned? Well, I have to rephrase that because, yes, from a Christian standpoint, in the dispensation of grace with Paul, sin is not imputed. But that's not what we're talking about here. We are talking about doing things. Are you sinning? If we say that we have no sin because you haven't been sinning, you know, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Is that true to you today? If you just ask for forgiveness, does that make you a Christian? Because if that's the case, then Catholics are Christians. Lutherans are Christians. People are Christians by just asking for forgiveness. On their deathbed, if they just barely get out asking for forgiveness, does that make a Christian today? Not according to what Paul teaches. Not according to what the risen Savior has taught to the Gentiles. See? This, by the way, is one of the first verses that made me open my eyes to the fact that, so if we just ask for forgiveness, well, wait a minute. If my sins aren't imputed to me, what sins do I have to ask for forgiveness for? Then I started to look more and more into the teachings of Paul to realize how false this stuff was. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 27. Let's see here, chapter 2, verse 27. There it is. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Do you believe that you have been anointed by the Spirit of God? Anointed. God has given you that anointing. Because if you believe that, then it goes on. Ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So if you've been anointed, according to 1 John, then you don't need your Bible. If you are of those that have been anointed as a pastor, then you can teach your people things because you have been anointed by God. and your little people have not been anointed by God, so they need you to preach and teach to them. They need you who have learned the Greek. That they need you who have understood all the different versions, how to put them together into the so-called truth. You've been anointed. That's what anointing is, by the way. So have you been anointed? If that's the case, you don't need your King James Bible. Wait a minute. We're living in a time of the dispensation of grace, for that which is perfect is come. That's the King James Bible. It has to be. That's another sermon in itself. And yet people believe God will tell them things, show them things, guide them without the scriptures, without the Bible, through a preacher, through a pastor, through their own thinking, through their own heart, through their own feeling. You know, people nowadays don't say, I believe this. They say, I feel this. Well, I feel that, da, 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 da. No, you don't feel that at all. You believe that. You're wrong in your belief. You're wrong in your feelings. Sure you are, because your belief is based on your feelings. It's a mess, folks. Then it says in verse 28, 1 John chapter 2, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Well, see, we're not waiting for him to appear as the second coming of Christ. Thessalonians tells us that we're waiting to meet with him, gathered together unto him. We'll go to him, and him not to us. So this is a tribulation. This is the way it will be during the tribulation. I've said it many, many times. I'll say it again. The pastors in today's churches are preaching fantastic tribulational messages to the people. They really need to turn it on to get those people ready, because they will go through the tribulation. So people believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation. Well, the church being the body of Christ, the Gentiles, know that the church is not going to go through the tribulation. But the churches today, yeah, they're going to go through the tribulation because they're being taught the wrong gospel. They're not being taught Paul's gospel. They're not teaching the gospel of the risen Savior. They're getting their doctrine from 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, James, Jude, Hebrews. So how can this be encouraging? I'm attacking. No, I'm saying these things to get us to enjoy the Christianity that we have, to enjoy our King James Bible. It is not a book of rules and regulations. It's a book that tells us how to live to please God. But there's riches that we can enjoy today, even during the stuff that's going on out there. Let's go on to number 16. We'll stop here.